Let's open the Bible again, this time to the Epistle to the Philippians, chapter 1. And we're going to read the first 11 verses of this chapter. And our text will be those, basically those verses, especially verses 3 through 5. And we're going to focus this morning on an aspect of our thanksgiving that we need to think about, and that is being thankful for each other. With the Word of God in Philippians 1, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. God bless these words this morning to our hearts. Maybe we'll just read verses 3 through 5 again. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. In the inspired epistles written by the Apostle Paul, thanksgiving to God is a constant and repeating theme. In those epistles, we know that we are taught the beautiful doctrines of God's grace. We are taught the Christian life that is to be the result of the grace of God in our hearts. But whenever he teaches those things, any aspect of the Christian life, he always is expressing thanksgiving. We may say that the epistles of the Apostle Paul are letters to teach the thankful Christian life, not just precept upon precept, not just theoretical truths, but he's after thankfulness in everything that he writes. That there be the response of our hearts when he reveals the truth of God and our calling before God, that our response be always thankfulness. And so Paul, in these epistles that he writes, gives us the three items, three words that summarize thanksgiving. He uses the word always in his epistles, giving thanks always for all things, for this is the will of God for you. Always, we don't give thanks sometimes, but it's a daily walk to give him thanks from our hearts and what we do, part and parcel of life. He uses the word, secondly, in everything, not picky of what we're going to be thankful about, but in every circumstance. Every circumstance of your life now, mine, give him thanks. And then number three, he teaches us, God teaches us the reason why it's always and why it's everything, for everything. Because all things, says the apostle, are for your sakes, that through your thanksgiving, glory may go to God. So this morning, having knowledge of those epistles and understanding what was just said, so this morning we say, and God says to us, come, ye thankful people, come. Raise the voice of your thanksgiving today and always. We thank him for his abundant mercy. We thank him for his faithfulness to us. We thank him for the unbreakability of his love, for his loving kindness to us. This morning, our hearts may be troubled and sorrowful, but our hearts this morning are full. They are full of the Lord's mercies and grace. Our hearts must be assured this morning, full of assurance of his promises. Our hearts must be giving him thanks. And if that is not that urge to thank him, then it's like a clogged artery. When our hearts have a clogged artery, we discover it. But spiritually, our hearts can have a clogged artery. It must be opened today so that thanks to God in everything is our life. But the one thing that Paul, in all of his epistles, as I've emphasized, they're all about thanksgiving. There is one thing that more frequently Paul will give thanks for, a specific thing that he will give thanks for. He does this more for this specific thing than any other thing in his epistles. And for what he gives thanks most specifically and frequently is for one another, for the congregation, for each of his fellow believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote 13 epistles. In all but one of them, the epistle to the Galatians, he opens the epistle with a thanksgiving. He tells the church how thankful he is for that church. Romans 1 verse 8, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. 1 Corinthians, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace that has been given to you by Christ Jesus. And even when he comes to the epistles to individuals, to Timothy and to Titus and to Philemon, right at the top of his list, at the very opening of his words, and he's going to deal with these men with some very difficult subjects. But nevertheless, he begins by saying how thankful in God, to God, is he for them. So our text, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So this morning, as we arose and we were thinking about the things that we must give thanks for today, and we made our list, many of the things that I've already mentioned and that we mentioned in our prayer, we thought of all the provisions that God has given to us and all the promises that God has given to us. We thought of all of these things. Did you and I think that we must give thanks this morning for each other, for one another? Did we thank him for the great blessing of fellowship with other needy sinners in Jesus Christ? The great blessing that is in this world on watch of darkness descending, and so much ingratitude and complaining, that we have given this blessing. We have fellowship with other saints of God. This is the most important thing we have, and that we had in 2022. Giving thanks for one another. That's our theme. The reason, the expression, and the response. So we learn from the text that every time that Paul, who's in a prison at this point in Rome, that every time he remembered with the gift of memory the church at Philippi, there was a beep of gratitude in his heart. Every time he thought of this church and the many fellow believers in that church, there was a spike. There was a movement in his heart of thanks to God for this church and for these people. And why was that so? Well, first of all, to understand that, we have to get a little bit of the context here. The Apostle Paul, as I said, wrote this epistle from Rome. It's in his first imprisonment, and therefore it has been 10 years since he has last seen face to face these people in Philippi, or that he had been there. Acts 16 records his one and only visit there. And you remember, it was just a marvelous thing. Even to the Apostle Paul, we would say. There was the vision of the Macedonian man, which called him to go across the Aegean Sea, because God said, go there. And then there was the first day there at the riverbank, when he met a group of women in prayer, and then he met Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened to the gospel, and the church began in her home. And then there was that girl who followed him, possessed of the devil, and he cast the devil out, and he was arrested and beaten and cast into the jail. And then there was the Philippian jailer, a man, a strong man who was used to knocking heads together. He came weeping to him in the earthquake, crying out, Lord, crying out to Paul and Silas, what must I do to be saved? It was a powerful, wonderful time in his ministry. You may say that the Apostle Paul was in the delivery room when this church was born. He was there. He saw the grace of God, and he loved them. Verse 7, I have you in my heart. 10 years later, you're in my heart. Verse 8, I greatly long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. He missed them. And we know also that that love was reciprocated to the Apostle Paul. We find that out in this epistle. We learn in chapter 4 especially that after Paul had left Philippi, they sent care packages. Before the day of UPS, they were sending care packages to the Apostle Paul, different times when other congregations weren't giving to him his needs. The Philippians would send a gift. And now, even in the last, as he's 800 miles away from them, he's in the Roman cell, they have sent a man to him called Epaphroditus with another gift to him. And so he gives thanks for them. And while that is true, yet Paul being in the flesh as we are, and the Philippians being in the flesh as we are, not everything was perfect. It is not easy. It's impossible to our flesh to give thanks for one another. And that's the case here too. For we read through the epistle and we remember that in chapter 2 we have the scripture's most beautiful and pointed teaching on humility. And that the apostle in chapter 2 and in other places in this epistle is always calling them to humility, to the mind of Christ. Chapter 2, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than himself. There were difficulties there. There was pride. In chapter 4, we learn of two women who were openly at odds with each other. There were undercurrents in this congregation. The Apostle Paul knew about them. And so it is always, and so it is with us. We are carnal. We are sinful. We are selfish. By nature, our default is that we like some people and we don't like other people. We put people into categories. We form opinions from a distance. We remember things from our school days. We listen to gossip. We listen to backbiting. We must not think that when Paul does this, it's so crystal easy and so wonderful. I give thanks for you that Philippians were a perfect church and Paul was a perfect man. He was a great man of God, but he was not a perfect man. And he says, I'm thankful. Why? Well, then we can erase immediately the earthly, and we go to the spiritual reasons. And he tells us the reasons why he is so thankful for these other believers and why we must be so thankful for one another this morning. He's thankful, first of all, because it's God's work that he sees. He sees sin. He's not blind to himself. But he sees in this church in Philippi, we must see in our congregation, God's work in the individual lives of the members of the church and in the church. He says, I thank my God. I don't thank you, I thank God upon every remembrance of you. I thank God when I see you, because I see how God, what God has done in your life. He says, verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day. His mind goes back to those first days of Philippi. The Macedonian call, that was all of God to send the word there. The wonderful grace of God that sends the word that finds even us. It's not by accident. God did that. And the gospel came to them with power and changed their lives. And Lydia and the girl set free, the young girl and the Philippian jailer. He sees it all as God's work. And then he looks at them with that beginning of grace. And he says in verse 6, I'm confident of your future too. I thank God for your future. What future would we say does the church have, the true church today who is going to stand on the word? What about the future? He says, I'm thankful, being confident that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. He knew, and he was thankful for it, that if God began his work of grace in the hearts of individuals in the congregation, God would see it through. And he was thankful. He saw that. If we look on the horizontal, we will not give thanks for each other. We won't give thanks, perhaps, for a wife or a husband today, for a circumstance that's happening to us, for a memory that we have of someone. We won't give thanks. But when we look at that vertical and we see that grace of God, we give thanks. But he's thankful not only because of the work of God's grace in our hearts, but he adds this in verse 5, I'm thankful for your fellowship in the gospel. From the first day that I was there, even till now, 10 years later. He's thankful for the fellowship that he has with them in the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what he's thankful for. Fellowship is not simply standing in groups with a cup of coffee. It can be fellowship. Fellowship today is not simply watching a football game with the extended family. It can be fellowship. Fellowship for which we give thanks is not simply that we have a common age and common experiences, and we got a lot to talk about. It's not simply that we have similar interests in our life. We love music, or we love math, or whatever it may be. It's not that we have the same background and we, so to speak, can understand each other. It's not that we have the same color of skin. It's not that we are generally the same economic social class. That's not fellowship. Fellowship for which we give thanks is fellowship in the gospel, in the good news, in the cross and the empty tomb of Jesus Christ, of salvation. Wonderful salvation to the unworthy by living grace. Our fellowship is the gospel, the good news of freedom from guilt, from a prison that's far worse than the smelly hole that Paul was in Rome. The freedom from the chains and the guilt of sin. He says, I have fellowship with you in the gospel of God. From the first day, our fellowship was not social. Paul did not plant churches with the playbook of the world. He did not try to gather churches with the marketing techniques of the world and the way that the world thinks they can bond people and organize people. He didn't do that. They were bonded together in amazing, not an amazing race, an amazing grace. In fellowship in the gospel. They were bonded together as we are bonded together by God's grace this morning in the peace that is in Christ, as our kindergartner is saying to us a week ago Thursday. There's no peace in the world. There's peace in Christ. And that fellowship of the gospel, of God's grace in our lives, we give thanks for each other today for that. That fellowship, says Paul, and to Paul was very tangible. It wasn't just a thought. It was something he experienced. And he experienced it in two ways. He experienced it the same two ways that we experience it. He experienced it through suffering. He says in verse 7, even as it is proper meet for me to think this of you, to give you thanks, to be thankful for you. That's a proper thing for me to do, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. He's saying God has given to me the grace of salvation, yes, but he's given to me the grace of suffering, to suffer, particularly here for the gospel of Christ. And I'm thankful for you, Philippians, because I see that same grace in you. We are thankful for each other. When by God's grace, we love the testimony of Jesus Christ and of his word. And perhaps you go through reproach in your job, or difficulties in your job, or in college you get ridiculed and laughed out, or you get attacked. When you give your testimony against the evils of this present age, when you suffer, Paul says, I give thanks because we have fellowship. We're experiencing the same thing. Because we belong to Christ, we experience that we will be rejected by this world. And when we see that, we're thankful. And not only a suffering for Christ, but also suffering. There's the fellowship in Christ of suffering in Christ. When we see and when we go through the difficult things of this life, and cancer and death and heartache and heartbreak and all types of things, then through suffering, we have fellowship in Christ. We look to Him together. We bring our need, our burden to Him. And so when we see our brothers and sisters here in this church, and we see faithfulness, willingness to suffer for the testimony of Christ, and when we see afflictions, and when we see disabilities, and when we see death, and when we see such burdens and such difficulties, and we see that these children of God are confessing that the Lord, nevertheless, is good, then we are thankful for each other. But that fellowship was not only in the sufferings, but it was also in service. He says, I have fellowship with you because you have a serving heart. This church served. This church was very active in awareness of serving one another. They were very active in awareness in serving the Apostle Paul. He speaks of that in chapter 4, verses 15 and 16, that they were helping not just him, but they were helping each other out in all of their needs. And that they were helping him when they sent Epaphras to him with a gift. And this man, Epaphroditus, when he came to Paul in Rome and stayed with Paul, he became sick. Sick unto death. But he was willing to give his life to bring this gift to the Apostle Paul. Just before the days of Nero, he was willing to do that, travel 800 miles. What is fellowship in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Fellowship in the gospel of Jesus Christ is the grace to lay down our lives one for another. This is why Paul is thankful for them. He's thankful because he sees God's grace in them. Petty, they were petty. They were proud. He sees God's grace. And he sees their fellowship in the gospel, in suffering and service. We see that here. And we give God thanks. The Apostle Paul, of course, is expressing that thanks verbally in this epistle, and that's a good thing, to express thanks for each other today, verbally. But the Apostle Paul tells them, because he can't do it face to face, he's in Rome, he tells them exactly how he expresses thanks. And he does that by praying for them. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, every time I think of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. So when he remembered, it prompted a prayer on his heart for them. He expressed his thankfulness through prayer. This does not surprise us, because in our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45, third part of the catechism, the question is asked us, what is the chief way of thankfulness? What's the chief part of thankfulness? What is the chief way in your life that you give thanks to God? And the answer is prayer. Prayer. What is the chief way that we give thanks one for another? The answer is prayer. Always, in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy. So follow the chain here. First of all, he remembered them. That wonderful gift of memory. He hadn't seen their faces for 10 years. But he remembered them. That was the first thing. We must remember each other. Today we remember dear brothers and sisters and family who are parted from us. They're not with us here. Maybe it's because they have moved or they're separated from you, but we remember many in this past year who are parted from us in death. But that remembrance, yes, grief, that remembrance also brings thankfulness. Thankfulness for their fellowship with us. Thankfulness that they were in our home. Thankfulness that God blessed us through that son, through that daughter, through that husband, through that wife, through that parent. He remembered them. He thought of their hospitality. He thought of their thoughtfulness. It was not with the Apostle Paul out of sight, out of mind. He remembered them. Then number two, it brought him to prayer. In every prayer of mine, making requests. So it was a specific type of prayer. It's the prayer that we call intercessory prayer. He remembered them, and he expressed his thanks for them in prayer, not simply the words, thanks, Lord, for that person, but specifically, he interceded for them. He brought their needs to God in prayer. He was truly thankful for them. He was concerned about them. So he brought all of their needs to God in prayer. In every prayer of mine, that does not mean that every time Paul prayed, he went through the list of everybody in Philippi, but it means that he did this regularly. He did this frequently. And then, number three, he remembered, he gave intercessory prayer, and he says, with joy. With joy. He didn't do it grudgingly, but he was happy to be able to pray for their needs. This is the expression of our thanks this morning for each other. Sometimes we say in the congregation, what can I do? I don't even know that person. I'm very busy with my own life. And yes, it's very hard for us to remember. We forget. But we say, what can I do? And here the Word of God says, you can pray. You can pray. This is Thanksgiving Day. We are called to express our thanks to God for one another. We try to do that in the congregational prayer. We'll do more of that in our family gatherings today. As our husbands and fathers, as the leader of our home leads us in prayer, we're going to prepare for that. We're going to make remembrance of God's goodness to us and of those who have been such a blessing to us. We're going to remember them. We remember them in prayer, but we say, well, this is pretty hard. There's a lot of people in this congregation, and that's true. That's true. I might just give you the suggestion. You might want to start with your potluck group. Maybe that's a little bit more doable, but really, I'm not talking about a list. When the Spirit of God is in us, and we talk to another or simply observe another, that Spirit of God will work in your heart. And then you can remember that person in your prayer. Let us give thanks today for one another, for all of us. Verse 4, always in every prayer of mine for you all. Verse 7, even it is meet for me to think this of you all. Verse 8, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all. For each child, for each boy and girl, for those who are in junior high and high school, young adult, single, old, widow, widower, all, that we want to know more of, be patient with, and let each esteem the other better than himself. We want to do that. That's the response. We want to do that, especially this morning, because the darkness of sin is lowering, and the efforts of the evil one to crush the church and to divide the church are increasing. And because we are weak and we are needy, so we want to express thanks through prayer. But we also want to do that because God has blessed us. God has blessed you. He has not blessed you with a visit of an angel. He has blessed you through your fellow church member. Let's give him thanks. Amen. Heavenly Father, thy word is spoken in weakness. Thy word is ever so better than what it can be said. But now, Lord, thy word has been spoken to us. Work by the Holy Spirit in our hearts. That upon every remembrance of each other, we may give thanks to God, and that we may remember each other in our prayers before thy throne, in thanksgiving for the grace that is given to us, and for the fellowship that we have in the blessed gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Amen.